Ephesians chapter number 2. And I want to look at the subject matter in Scripture that some have tried to complicate in this matter of salvation. How many are thankful for eternal salvation? I'm thankful for it. Salvation, and we're going to see from the Scriptures, the only thing that we bring to the table of salvation is the sin that makes it necessary. And I'm thankful that Jesus has freely offered himself and paid the price for eternal salvation. And I want to, as simply and clearly, if God will help me with it, be able to lay out this subject matter of salvation. Religion has tried to muddy the waters. We do not believe in a do salvation. In other words, that you have to do everything in order to get salvation. We believe in a done salvation, that Jesus paid it all. Ephesians 2, if I had to choose, if it came down to it, okay, you can only have one book out of the Bible, okay, you can only have 10 verses out of the Bible, I believe I'd probably come back to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Because I would be able to share with someone eternal salvation, to see their sinful condition, to be able to see what Jesus did for each and every one of us, and then it also shows us how we're supposed to live after salvation. It's all in these 10 verses right here. And we have what's waiting for us after this life is over. I'm going to read these 10 verses, Ephesians 2, verse 1. "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past." See, we have right there that we're all sinners. "We all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God," aren't you glad when God butts into a life? "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." You see, to summarize the last three verses there, we understand that we're not saved by works, but we're saved to work. And we're created in Christ Jesus. As we look at this subject matter of salvation, and we look at what the Bible says, and I always ask someone, not if they're necessarily they're saved. So a lot of people have that mentality, but then, especially you get down south, everybody's saved down there. Because their grandparents went to church, they went to church, their parents went to church, and they're just core members of that. But yeah, when you start talking about being saved, some people understand, well, man, I got saved from a car accident one time. Well, I got saved as I went in for a surgery and I saw a bright light. They don't understand Bible salvation. Bible salvation. And I like to ask people, even if they don't understand and they mention their denomination, that they'll say, well, I'm sorry, I'm such and such and name the denomination. I'll even ask them, I'll say, okay, are you a born-again Catholic? Well, what's that? Okay, well, let me show you what the Bible says, because it does. You start looking at different churches you go to, but the Bible says, except a man be born again. You cannot see the kingdom of God. So you ask him, are you a born-again Baptist? I'll even ask it for Baptist. Well, I'm a Baptist. Okay, are you a born-again Baptist? Because that denomination is not going to get you to heaven. And so we start looking at what the scriptures say. May I also take it a step further, not just in this world where they say you have to do all this list of good works, and some will say you have to keep all these things and you might have a chance for heaven. Okay, if you take your communion, if you say your prayers, if you get married in the church, if you have your last rites, if you stand on your head in the corner for 10 minutes, I mean, just all kinds of things. They give their grocery list of things that they think needs to be done for salvation. Well, when we say we have a done salvation, we believe that Jesus paid it all. What Jesus did on Calvary through his death, his burial, and his resurrection is sufficient for salvation. So then when we start looking at Bible salvation, there are extremes on both sides. When we start looking at Bible salvation, that there are some that say, well, man has absolutely nothing to do with salvation. It is all the divine sovereign act of God that God chooses them and they don't have a choice in it. They're going to be saved no matter what. But then there's the other side of the coin that really they're not even sides of the same coin. They're so diametrically opposed that God has nothing to do with it. That it's completely on man's choice about that. Well, may I say this? The Bible has the balance between all of that. The Bible explains all of that. And so when we start looking at this matter of salvation, I do believe, and we're going to see it from Scripture, the Holy Spirit of God convicts and draws someone to the Lord. When there is conviction and drawing, there is a decision that is made on behalf of the individual, whether to accept the Lord Jesus Christ or to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. What did Stephen say in the book of Acts when he was preaching? He looked at them and said, "You do always resist the Holy Spirit." In other words, God's working, God's pricking your hearts. You're resisting him. So there is a decision that's made on our side. We have verses. You don't turn over there. We're going to turn to several other verses here in just a little bit. We read down through here. It's not of works. There's not one work we can do to be able to obtain salvation. You say, well, why did God design salvation like that? Well, listen, it's his salvation, so he can set the rules, by the way. Same way with heaven. Some people say, well, I'm going to get to heaven my way. And I say, well, whose heaven is it, by the way? It's God's heaven, so he sets how someone's getting into it, okay? And so he has said it that Jesus came, died on the cross, by grace, through faith, we exercise that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's why he didn't put it based on works. He said, lest any man should boast. Because do you understand that if we got to heaven by works, then for all of eternity, we would be able to sit around and you would be able to tell me you did more works to get there than what I did. Well, then you're feeling superior to me. I didn't do as many works, but I still got there. You did more works and still got there, lest any man should boast. When we get to heaven, and I have full assurance that we can know no man's going to pluck us out of the Father's hand. We'll read that in a little while. When I get to heaven, do you understand that every one of us that are in heaven are going to have to say, we got here the same way? If there is a king that is in heaven, guess what? He got there by placing his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lazarus, as you read in Luke chapter number 16, he was a beggar and laid at the gates. He didn't go to heaven because he was poor. He went to heaven because he placed his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we'll have the rich, we'll have the poor, we'll have everybody in between, and everybody's going to say, if you walk up to someone else and say, how'd you get here? Trusted Jesus. Walk over to someone else. How'd you get here? Trusted Jesus. You mean you didn't do more works? You may have done more works than what I did, but that's not what gets you to heaven. By grace through faith. You say, well, Pastor, how do we reconcile all of this then through Scripture? To be able to say, well, we have nothing to do with it. God chose me. I don't even have to do with it. I don't even have to go to church. You don't have to go to church to get saved. It's not the church that saves you. It's Jesus that saves you. So you say, how do we reconcile all of this? And if I can put it this way, now here's how our minds process things, and God's done this throughout the Scriptures. We process it in order of event. In saying this happened and this happened and this happened, when in the eyes of God, he's outside of time and it all happened right here, okay? And it's less than the twinkling of an eye in a split second. So how do we reconcile all this? Well, let's be true to the Scriptures, okay? Take your Bibles and turn with me over to John chapter number 6. We do have verses, as you're turning to John 6, we do have verses like Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Okay? You can jump down a couple more. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever, don't you love the word whosoever in the Bible? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we have verses like that that show that the believing is on our side, okay? God's not forcing himself upon anybody. But look what John chapter number 6, let me get back to it here. Look what he said in verse number 41. Let's jump back to 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto him, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. Do you understand? Nobody comes to Christ without being drawn by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, you say, well, when does that take place? So here's where, hey, no one gets saved without the Father drawing them. If the Father doesn't draw them, they're not getting saved. God chose not to draw them. Now, listen, I believe what the Bible says. Father must draw them. I also believe this. Listen, as we look at Scriptures, if someone's not being drawn by the Holy Spirit of God, you say, well, what's conviction? What is being drawn? There's something going on inside the heart saying, you know, you need this. You may not be able to put a word to it. That's what other people have said about salvation. I didn't know what was going on inside my heart, but I knew I needed what they had. Then they can learn afterwards from Scripture, hey, that was God speaking to your heart. And teach them. It may be one of the first times that they experience the Lord speaking to them. So I believe this. Now, listen. You get saved when the Holy Spirit of God's drawing you. That means when the Holy Spirit's drawing and when God's speaking to our hearts is the best time to yield to it. Because you may not have that other opportunity. We're not just going to be snapping our bubble gum walking down the aisle anytime we feel like it, saying, I just believe I'll get saved today. God speaking to the heart that we need to be saved. God drawing us to himself. You say, well, Pastor, there it's plain and simple right there that if someone only gets saved when God draws them, if God doesn't draw them, they can't get saved. Is that what the Bible says? No man cometh unto the Father except the Father draw him. Okay? That's what the Bible says. Now take your Bible, turn to John chapter 12 with me. So who does God draw? Well, those that he's chosen to. No, let's just look at the Bible. We're just reading the Bible, right? Look at John chapter 12. And I know you'll have to go back and look up these definitions of all, okay? John chapter 12, verse 30 says, Jesus answered and said, the voice came not because of him, because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Look what he said, verse 32. And I, if I be lifted up. Now, who's speaking here according to verse 30? Jesus is. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Okay? Now, when we look at that verse of Scripture, I've heard this completely misapplied. I've heard it said, okay, well, in our church services, we need to exalt Christ, and Christ will do the drawing. No, that's a wonderful statement. That's not what the verse is talking about. You say, how do you know, Pastor, that that's not what the verse is talking about? Because I read the next verse. And this spake he. What? If I be lifted up from the earth. This spake he, signifying what death he should die. He's talking about, now listen, here's what the Bible says. Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, he's talking about the death he's supposed to die, right? Crucifixion. If I be lifted up from the earth, he gives the promise, I will draw all men unto me. So, was Jesus lifted up from the earth? Speaking of the crucifixion, was he lifted up from the earth? Yes. So in order to fulfill that promise, he was lifted up from the earth. That means to keep his word, he will draw all men unto him. You say, well, Pastor, how does that happen? Well, it happens in a couple ways. First of all, you can go back to the Old Testament. You can realize in Psalm chapter 19 that the heavens declare the glory of God. And the earth showeth his, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. There is a general revelation that is out there that if someone will use their common sense, they have walked out, looked up at the sky, looked at the trees, and said, someone must have created this. Someone. The heavens declare the glory of God. You cannot. And I know one of the phrases today is, we're going to follow the science, follow the science. They don't follow the science, they follow their scientific narrative that they put to it. Because if someone was truly following the science, this does not happen all around us based upon science. If man is evolving from monkeys to humans, then where's the process of evolution? Shouldn't there be some right now in that process? They're not. We look around and say, someone must have created this. Now, I believe this. I believe, listen, darkest jungles of Africa. It's amazing to hear the accounts of when someone is searching and saying there's got to be a God, how God begins working. To be able to send a missionary or be able to send a preacher because they're wondering and they're being drawn. You know what they're missing? The Word of God. Okay? Someone's not getting saved just by looking up at the skies and saying, hey, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. At some point, they're getting the Word of God to them. It might be through a gospel tract. It might be in a personal testimony. Might be in just something they read. But they get the Word of God. Someone asked a preacher one time, they were going down through, and it was actually a younger preacher talking to an older preacher. The younger preacher was trying to prove his stripes and quizzing the older preacher just to find out where they're in agreement. And then he come down, he asked him this question. He said, well, preacher, and I know the pastor, I know him. He said, do you believe someone can get saved by reading a gospel tract? The old preacher looked back at him. He said, I 100% do. And he said, well, that's where we'd have to disagree. Here's what the young preacher's saying. That's where we'd have to disagree. And he said, because the Bible says that it's by the foolishness of preaching that God chose to save him. The old preacher didn't skip a beat. Just looked back at him, and he said, well, he said, that's the difference in you believing it's the man of preaching, and I believe it's the message of preaching. And the Holy Spirit of God speaking to hearts. They need the gospel. God drawing hearts, God speaking. There must be a creator. Well, then the accounts around this world, and listen, God used a single young lady to get dropped into a circular field with cannibals in northern South America that everybody told her not to go. Her pastor said don't go. Her mission agency said don't go. The helicopter pilot said don't drop down. I'm not getting close enough. They're cannibals. They would throw their spears up into the blades to be able to get it to crash. He said, I'll only get low enough and you'll have to rappel down from there. What nobody knew is there was an old folklore, wives' tale, whatever you want to call it, that they believed that there would be a white goddess that come down from the sky that would be able to share truth with them. So as soon as this missionary girl's getting descent, getting dropped out, she said, and that pilot told him this, said, I'll come back in a week, and if you step out into that clearing, I'll pick you up if you're still alive, but I'm not waiting long. And she descended, walked back there. A week later, he's hovering over the top. She walks out with all these converts from the tribe. Now, here's the thing. God knows. He said he would draw. So I believe this. I believe at some point in every person's life, for the word of God to be fulfilled, there is a drawing by the Holy Spirit. There is a drawing. Now, whether they reject it or accept it, that's up to them. I believe Adolf Hitler at some point, hey, listen, I've even heard testimony, and I could go into all of it. You can read the firsthand account of a man that went down to Cuba after World War II, gave his testimony, preached the gospel, standing outside after the service, national Cuban pastor standing beside him, young man with a beard standing across the street, started walking across. Pastor met him in the middle of the road. Pastor talked to him for a little while, came back, looked at the evangelist there. He said, that's a young revolutionary in our country here, and he didn't appreciate your comments about communism and everything today. The young man's name was Fidel Castro. He said, little did I know, he said, just a few years later, he said he'd be the dictator over the country. He said, but I'll never forget that God even gave him an opportunity to hear the gospel, and God used me to be able to do it. Listen, you hear about things like this. You can go back, you judge his spiritual condition by his fruit or something, but I remember personal testimonies of pastors that would step onto an elevator, and there's Elvis Presley standing beside him, and be able to give the gospel to Elvis Presley as they rode down in the elevator. People that we would say, not even possible. Listen, for the word of God to be fulfilled, there's a drawing in every person's heart at some point. You say, well, then why isn't everybody saved? Because they've rejected Christ. They've said no. God's done his part, but man has not accepted. So now we look through this. You say, well, there's scriptures in the Bible. And listen, we can go back to Ephesians chapter number 1. Let me just give you some things that I believe, according to scripture, take place at the moment of salvation. We say at the moment, but in scripture, it's actually in a sequence, one after another, at that moment that's taken place. Because you go back and people will use verses like in Ephesians chapter number 1 where the Bible says that we're predestined unto the adoption of children. And guess what? That's exactly what the Bible says. I 100% believe that. That we're predestined to the adoption of children. You say, Pastor, you're just talking in circles. If you 100% believe that, you can't believe that we have a choice in salvation. The Bible reconciles all of it. And it all just fits right together. You say, what do you mean? Okay, I'm glad you asked. Let's take the Bible, turn back to John chapter number 1. There's a couple major things that take place at salvation. One, we're in the family of God, aren't we? Number two, we have the Holy Spirit of God, don't we? Okay? So I want you to see this, because the Bible does say in Ephesians chapter 1, we're predestined to the adoption of children. So if we're predestined, that's not going to change. Okay? Well, who's the adoption for? Who's the family for? Okay? So many times, and just hear me through, and we're going to read Scripture. So many times we've looked at the adoption into the family of God as the difference between saved and unsaved. That's not what it is in Scripture. Adoption into the family of God is only for those who have trusted Christ. Look what the Bible says, John chapter 1. We can read all the way down through here. Start in verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man. Oh, that's interesting again. Which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them. Who's the them in verse number 12? The ones that have received. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Even to them, you say, what is it to receive him? Even to them that believe on his name. The believing is our side. The believing is, and I'll read this to you, coming over to Romans chapter 10 again. I quoted the verse, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But look at this. I'll continue reading verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So you have a preacher of the gospel that proclaims the message. People hear the message and believe it. That's our side. God has drawn. God has convicted. He's pulling us to himself. We start getting to the point of knowing we need what they're talking about. I'm a sinner. I cannot save myself. God's drawing us. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. To as many as receive him, those that believe on his name, to those that receive him, to them gave him the power to become the sons of God. Do you know there's no one that's in the family of God that hasn't believed on Jesus? No one. You say, oh, but we're all part of the family of God. Not according to the Bible. Okay? Not according to the Bible. In fact, Jesus looked at the Pharisees and those that were lost and said, you're of your father the devil. Okay? So we look at this, Bible salvation. We have the sin that is necessary because we're by nature, according to what we read in Ephesians chapter 2, by nature, the children of wrath, even as others. We need someone to save us, to redeem us, because we're separated from Almighty God. We hear the message of Jesus dying on the cross, being buried, and rising again the third day. And let me say this. You don't have Bible salvation if you don't believe in the resurrection. You must believe that Jesus rose from the dead for Bible salvation. Jesus rose from the dead, paid my price for eternal salvation. I hear that message, and I believe on him. At that point, boy, does it set a whole range of things in motion. As soon as I believe on him, gave me the power to become the sons of God. I am adopted, according to Romans and according to Ephesians 1, I am adopted into the family of God. How did I get adopted? Was it by his choice? Yes. God predestined that every person that believes on Jesus is adopted into the family of God. You say, well, what else takes place? Well, it's amazing how the sequence goes in Scripture, but it all happens quicker than that. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where salvation comes, by the way. We're adopted into the family. Only those that believe are adopted into the family and become the sons of God. You say, well, what else happens? Well, take this. Here's what got me digging into all this, and I've loved it over the past several months. Galatians chapter number 4. Let's turn over to Galatians. You say, what else happened? I'm showing you this progression. God draws, we believe. Once we believe, we're adopted into the family of God. Then once we're adopted in the family of God, look at this. Start in verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons. Now, is this a spiritual son or a physical son? Spiritual son. Remember John chapter 1 and verse number 12? Can I go back to last week too? That's why the word begotten is so important in John 3:16. It's not supposed to say his one and only son. Because if it's his only one and only son, that contradicts with John 1:12. That says that I have the power to become the sons of God, the Son of God, okay, upon believing. The word begotten, and it's the same way in other scriptures, it means come forth from the Father, okay? The only begotten Son of God. And because ye are sons, I'm back in Galatians 4 now, spiritual sons of God, and because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So God draws, we believe. That's salvation. At salvation, instantaneous. Now listen, we look at this as sequence. You saying, well, are you saying this is a progress? Listen, it happens before you can twinkle your eye. Because we believe, God adopts us into the family to become the Son of God. Because we're his son now, we get the Holy Spirit in our hearts, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. From that point, I believe instantaneous at salvation, you say, how long's this process? Listen, you don't understand. I don't understand how quick this is. But God lays it out for us and says, listen, I draw, you believe. That's salvation. When you believe, you're adopted into the family of God. When you're adopted into the family of God, you receive the Holy Spirit of God. Is that plain and simple scripture as we're looking at it? Plain and simple scripture. Don't let cloudiness as you go throughout scripture or what religion tells you to cloud the word of God. He draws, we believe. Now, what makes all of this necessary? By nature, we are the children of wrath, even as others. By nature. You notice he didn't say, by works, you're the children of wrath, but by nature. That means we are born with a sin nature. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We are by nature sinners. Not one time did my dad sit me down and teach me how to lie. Not once did he teach me how to disobey. Not once did my mom teach me how to be rebellious and throw a temper tantrum. Not once. Guess what? I had it all on my own. Just something inside of us. Now, we try to completely reverse this today and say, well, man left to themselves, they're just innately good. Not according to the Bible. By nature, we're just reading Scripture this afternoon. We have this in nature that makes it necessary for us to be redeemed and reconciled to God. So if you're here today and you've never believed and trusted Christ as your Savior, I'm not asking what church you go to. I'm not asking how many good works you've done in the past week. And God's not either, by the way. God's saying, have you believed that the Lord Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again for you? Bible salvation. Bible salvation. It's wonderful, all the things that take place. Listen, even after this, we got glorification, we got sanctification. Why aren't you thankful? Now listen, with sanctification comes great conviction. Because he starts convicting. Isn't it wonderful after you get saved? The Holy Spirit of God dwelling inside of you because you're a child of God now. And because you're sons, God hath put in your heart the Holy Spirit. Okay, Spirit, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. But isn't it wonderful? Afterwards, boy, we just get saved. And all of a sudden, man, I can't talk like that anymore. Man, I ought not to be thinking that. I remember one new convert came back and said, you know, I had to throw away all them romance novels I was reading. It was a lady, by the way. Had to throw away all them romance novels that I was reading. Said, I started looking down through there, and she said, I just didn't feel right reading that. And then I started thinking, well, if I'm reading that, the Holy Spirit's seeing that too. It was her words. He don't want to look at that smut. You can tell it was an older lady. Well, he don't want to be looking at that. And put them down. Now, guess what? I didn't one time, you might not believe this, I didn't one time get up and preach on reading them romance novels. But guess who talked to her about that? Because she's the son of God, a child of God. Guess what? Holy Spirit of God inside is saying, something not right with that. See, we love the process of sanctification, but we don't love the conviction to cause sanctification of saying that's just not right. But God does all of that. Now listen, we believe in Bible salvation. We are not going to stand up and say you have to add anything to salvation. When Jesus said to the thief on the cross, and I understand it was before his death, when he said to the thief on the cross, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Guess what Jesus meant? You're going to be with me today. You're going to be with me today. Do you think them Roman soldiers were religious enough to take the thief off the cross and go baptize him, bring him back, put him back on the cross in order to fulfill that? No, it wasn't necessary. Jesus knew he was getting ready to see him again. Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Bible salvation. Now listen, this is the message that needs to be preached and proclaimed everywhere we go. That Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. Had a pastor tell me this just in the past week or so. We were talking over some things, and he said, you know, I'm just telling my people, said, you need to learn 7 or 8 words. Jesus died for your sins and rose again. And start with that message. Count the words, and you'll know how many I need. He said it a little bit more concise. Jesus died for your sins and rose again. That's the message. Aren't you thankful when you can see God working upon hearts? And boy, it's just like the Holy Spirit's just drawing them, I mean, just reeling them in. And just drawing them, getting closer. But then sometimes they get to the point like King Agrippa, almost. Now, we don't know what happened after that. There were some that said, we'll come and hear you again on this matter. You say, what happened to all that? I don't know. Paul was faithful at that moment to give the gospel, and at that moment, they actually rejected it. But I'd love to be able to find out what happened afterwards. You never know. I read a statement this week, the power of the gospel. I believe in Bible salvation to change lives. I read a statement, and I'll close it with this. You think about it, just let it sink in. It said, Paul entered heaven to the cheers of the martyrs that he had sent on ahead. Now, you talk about changing a life. What changes life? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Paul entered heaven to the cheers of the martyrs that he had killed. Boy, that's wonderful. Talk about the grace of God. Amen? Thankful for it. I'm thankful for the scriptures. You know, God does take care of things in the scriptures for us. Just to be able to understand, the Holy Spirit of God reveal them, it's plain and simple. And I believe it's as simple as can be. Bible salvation, and then say, God grant us the faith to accept it. Just to believe it. Amen? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for the word of God. Lord, I believe it's true. I believe that you draw. We respond. We believe. I remember the day when I believed. And I'm so thankful for it. Thank you for adopting me into the family. Thank you for putting the Holy Spirit of God in my heart because I'm your child. Lord, I pray that we'd be faithful witnesses to those that are around us. May we share true Bible salvation to those that we come in contact with. May we give them hope in a dark world. Thank you for your love to us. Give us a wonderful week of serving you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.